Welcome to the Florida Grown Femme Podcast,
where best friends Janet and Sage cover everything from sex to Starbucks.
Grab a coffee and join.
Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of Florida Grown Femmes. I'm Janet.
I'm Sage.
And today's episode is, well, we're just going to start off with a trigger warning. This episode may not be for everyone. We are going to be talking about my own, Janet, this is me, my story of my sexual assault. And we're going to be talking today whether you should report your sexual assault to the police. And so just to kind of jump into it a little bit, this topic, one of the reasons that Sage and I wanted to talk about this was this month of April is National Sexual Assault Awareness. This month is not something I typically celebrate, but I think it's important to bring awareness to. We've mentioned a couple times on this show, and I think Sage can speak to this a little bit more, but, you know, women are one in, I think maybe get my numbers right, it's one in four experience
sexual assault,
one in six sexual harassment, or no, one in two sexual harassment.
Yeah.
And so it's a very...
And it's a questionable if those numbers are accurate, given that the reporting is so low.
Yeah. That's the other thing, too. And so it is a pervasive thing that's happening in our culture. I don't think you can, you know, be in a room full of women without hearing multiples on multiple stories of ones that are similar to mine. What something that's come out of sharing my own story is that so many women have come to me and said like the same thing has happened to them or that they wish they reported, or it's been decades and they still feel it. And so it's a very powerful and an emotional experience for people. I think some of our audience knows, I might have mentioned it and stuff, my sexual assault resulted in me being diagnosed with PTSD 2 years ago. It was a very traumatic experience for me and something that I, you know, affected me deep into my core.
Yeah. And if you are sitting here feeling like, you know, well, maybe you haven't experienced sexual assault, that's wonderful. But you definitely know somebody who has. And so we are also going to dive in on this episode on how to support and encourage those close to us who have had that experience and how to be the best friends and family to them that we can be.
So I'll just kind of talk a little bit about my story. I won't go into necessarily the details of the attack, but basically the gist is I was this, my attack happened 6 years ago, actually 6 years ago this month. I was visiting friends out in LA, and these were friends that I've known since college. Like, they are a group of friends that I went to Southeastern with. They were friends that I trusted, and they're still these friends that I have out there that I trust. And we went out and stuff, and it was a typical experience and stuff. One night we decided that the friends that I was visiting and stuff, they were going to have like a house party and stuff. And it wasn't a big group and stuff. It was the group that we always kind of got together with, again, no strangers and things that I was partying with. These were friends that I've been partying with for a couple years. And when I say party and stuff, like, this isn't like the college partying and stuff, like you probably see in like secular colleges. This was Christians drinking, you know, like it was, we're getting drunk and stuff. And that particular night, I'll be honest, like it was a heavy drinking night because it was, we were playing True American and it's a heavy drinking game, super fun. But that night, so basically fast forward, to the end of the night where everybody goes. So the thing that was different was like, there was a bunch of people. And so bunch of people went upstairs into their own bedrooms, and I was left downstairs with me and two other guys. And one of these guys, I guess I should name him X, just moving forward and stuff. X was one of my closest friends in college. He was one of the things that's hard about this experience is that he's so closely tied to my Southeastern experience that it's hard to separate the experiences. Like, because of the, like, what he's done, it's made me negatively view everything that happened at Southeastern because it feels like it was like a lie. But this person was one of, like, on campus and stuff. We were two of three amigos. Like, we were the three amigos on campus. And ex and I, like, again, like, I partied with him forever and mm-hmm. things. And so that night, the last thing I remember was I was going to bed. The guys were on the couches and I was sleeping on, like, an air mattress on the floor. Everybody had gone upstairs. And that was a only time that was different than my partying life. Usually everybody slept in the living room. And so, but people went upstairs. And I woke up to my friend X on top of me. Mm-hmm. And he was kissing me and I pushed him off and I said no. And he climbed back on. And I'll just fast forward, like, because I don't want to trigger anybody and stuff. But I said no multiple times. Yeah. And X kept getting back on top of me, making out with me, putting my hands in places where they shouldn't be, saying things like I pleaded at points too, because mm-hmm. We were drunk, but not like, you know, I wasn't blackout. We're having conversations and things like that.
Yeah, you were able to communicate.
Yeah, like it wasn't like that, slurring words and things like that. I was, you know, like, hey, like, no, you know, what about, I would mm-hmm. started to plead, like, you know, what about this person? Oh, well, they're upstairs with this person. They don't care. Well, what if I want to be with this person? Well, they don't really care about you. So whatever. And mm-hmm. so I pushed him off, I don't know, at least 5 times mm-hmm. and he kept getting back on. And eventually at one point, like, it was like, it's so weird what flashes through your mind, like Law and Order SVU was just like constantly mm-hmm. playing in my head, where it's like, make sure you're saying no. Like, it was like I could go through like an interview in my head. Like, I was like, make sure I'm saying no. Like, I'm saying no. Like, why can't he hear me? Like, why doesn't he understand? Like, right. Am I being clear? And like, I finally pushed him off hard enough that I decided to get up after that. And I went into the bathroom, I closed and locked the door. And I, after that, tried to decide like what I was going to do. I thought like, okay, do I go upstairs and grab the other guys and make a scene about this and get like X mm-hmm. in trouble? I was like, that was one thing that immediately I was like, I don't want to get X in trouble. Mm-hmm. I was like, if I go upstairs and I don't even know which room to go into to get the right guy to handle this situation, mm-hmm. like, what do I do? And so I ended up like leaving. I somehow like grabbed my purse and got like left the, it was like a townhome situation, got out, got my rental car, and I ended up back in my hotel. I drove out at like 4 a.m, like, you know, essentially ran away. And the next day people were like, where were you? Like, where are you? Like, why aren't you here? Like, how could mm-hmm. you drive home drunk? And I didn't really have a huge explanation. Like, the next morning I texted X and I was like, what the fuck was that? Mm-hmm. Like, he's like, I don't know what you're talking about. I was like, you weren't exactly taking no for an answer last night. And he's like, I really don't remember anything from last mm-hmm. night. I have no idea what you're talking about. Yeah. And so I didn't know what to do after that. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember driving around LA that day and just thinking of like, it was like a 2 + 2 = 5 moment. Mm-hmm. It was like, okay, like, what happened to me wasn't okay. Mm-hmm. And if this wasn't X, I would probably go to the police and talk about it. But it was X, so that means it can't be sexual assault, because right. friends don't sexually assault friends. Right. So what happened to me can't be sexual assault. Mm-hmm. It must have been a misunderstanding.
Right, which it clearly was not.
No, it clearly was not. Yeah. And so the next day, we went out, like, I went out with friends again. X wasn't there. And a different friend of mine, we were at a brewery and we were all just like talking at a big bench table. And he was asking me, he's like, why did you leave last night? Like, why? Like, why did you leave at 4 a.m? You were fine. Like, when we went to bed. Mm-hmm. And I was like, X got on top of me and like wouldn't take no for an answer. So I mm-hmm. left. And he was like, I'll never forget his face of him being like, what? And I was like, just like explained it again, like slower. And he was like, no, no, no. He's like, what the fuck are you telling me right now, Janet? Mm-hmm. He's like, did X assault you last night? And like, now the table is paying attention. Mm-hmm. And I was like, no, 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 that's not what happened. Like, mm-hmm. and I was just trying to quiet it. And that was the first, thank God for that friend. Like, I don't know if I should say his name, but like, you know, thank you. He knows who he is, that like, yeah. he was the first person. And the entire person through my, up until I reported, that I could go to and who knew what happened mm-hmm. and knew that it was bad.
And labeled it appropriately.
Immediately inappropriate. Mm-hmm. And like, I think that was like, thank God, like mm-hmm. that was one of my first experiences, because after that, I never mentioned it again for mm-hmm. at least a year. I was with another friend from college. She and I were getting coffee, just catching up. And we were talking about, I don't know. Yeah, I think I was talking about LA and like what happened and stuff. And I just had said it for the first, like I told her what happened at that party. And the same thing, she stopped me like my friend did, and was like, what are you telling me right now? And I, you know, it took years for me to not tell the story like it wasn't a big deal. Because to me, I didn't want to make it a big deal. Like, I'm not someone that gets attacked was one thing too. I was like, I had a lot, I was like, no, like I was not attacked. Like, I am okay. Because I didn't want to be labeled as like damaged. I was so afraid that I was like damaged. And so I saw him at his graduation party that like a couple months after my attack. And I tried to pretend like everything was normal. And I haven't, like, that was the last communication that we had as quote unquote friends. The other amigo and stuff, I never told him what happened because the hardest part about this experience wasn't that I was assaulted. Like, I can handle that. Statistics are statistics. Like, it could happen to anybody. What the hardest part was is that it happened like by a friend. Like, I didn't see it coming. He wasn't someone I thought I needed to guard myself against. And that was the thing where it was, made me feel so powerless. Like, my gut was off. Like, why didn't I see this coming? Why didn't I see that this was possible from him? And so that's been the hardest part through all of it. It's not been that I was assaulted. I mean, it is. Like, that's horrible. Like, what I went through is horrible. But it's the fact that, like,
it was a trusted
the person. Deception, the deception, the trust that is broken, that is now irrevocably changed between how I look at my male friends.
Yeah.
And like, it took years, you know, it didn't, you know, my PTSD, like, that is now a part of me. It took years to get to, like, it was like what my attack was, like a seed that like got planted in my brain. And then over time, like, the roots spread out over my body. And that was like, anxiety filled my soul. But it happened so slowly over time that I didn't realize of, like, one, all these things, you know, you're 20, mid-20s and stuff, like, happens, like, life changes happen so quickly that you don't know whether you're just reacting to life happening or you're reacting to something that really happened to you. And I felt like I had gone through other crazy things in my life, that what had happened to me was nothing in comparison to that. I told myself it was nothing in comparison to that. But I didn't report. When I was in LA, I like I said, I had a 2+2=5 moment. I thought about, like, if this was a stranger, I would be at the police station right now. But it's not a stranger, so what, you know?
It's like, confusing.
It's confusing. And also, he didn't remember. He quote-unquote didn't remember. So how the fuck do I handle that? Like, how do I confront that? Yeah, exactly. How do I get justice from that? You know, how do I get justice from someone who apparently doesn't fucking remember the shittiest thing ever that happened to me? And so that's been the hardest part. Like, I'm a very justice-oriented person, and I really think that not reporting the next day did the most damage to me, because it was something that would linger in the back of my head forever. So my attack was 6 years ago. It happened in March of 2015. I didn't talk about it for at least a year after that, until I told my friend from college, and she also was attacked by ex as well in college. And so I know this sounds terrible, but there's validation to what happened to me in that, knowing that, like, I wasn't his only victim. And also, it's also horrible, is like, I didn't believe her at the time when it happened, which was also something I really did worry about, was that X is the golden child. Like, he is the quote unquote, like, good boy. He is the person that, like, you trust your daughters, you know, like, he's the golden child. He's the one I didn't see coming, you know, like, it was, because he was so clean on paper. He is the guy that you brought home to mom. He met my fucking family. Like, you know, like, he was someone I used to be proud to be friends with.
And I do just want to mention that, you know, a lot of people wonder why people don't report. And, you know, when the assaulter says things like, oh, I don't remember, what happened or that didn't happen, it does put a lot of doubt in the mind.
Yeah.
And to hear that you weren't the only victim as well. And people are always surprised. Well, why does this, you know, guy in the news who assaulted women, why is there 80 women? Well, because reporting is hard.
Yeah.
And especially if they play mind games or deny or it makes it 10 times as hard to have the courage to go and report.
Right. And when I eventually, it all came to me and me realizing like, holy shit, like I put together what happened to me. I got therapy. I was, getting counseling, honestly, like one being diagnosed with PTSD was freeing experience because I knew something was wrong and it affected me. But when I decided to, like I said, like I'm justice oriented, like the reporting felt necessary for me to finally like get closure. And reporting is not easy. You know, like when you like something bad happens, you know, to call the police, like, but like when it's not a bad, like when you're fine in the moment, like it's kind of a weird situation. And so like I said, I was in LA and so now I'm in Florida and I've now reconciled what's happened.
Yeah.
And also the ex doesn't live in Florida anymore. He now lives in like Georgia or something. So like now what? And so like 2 years ago now, two Decembers ago, my dad has a lot of lawyer friends and I reached out to one of his friends who was someone I could reach out to. And I asked him his advice, like what happens? Because at that time, like when I was starting to think about it, Taylor Swift had just had her like class action lawsuit against the guy. I also felt like there was, you know, I talked to another podcast that experience for me that kind of like brought everything to light where I was like, oh shit, something bad happened, like something's wrong, was the confirmation hearing of Judge Kavanaugh. I was like, I see the importance of talking about it now. Also Epstein had come around that time too. All these things, me too, all these things have been like, okay, there's power in your story, there's power in reporting. And so I asked my attorney, my dad's attorney friend, and he got back to me and he was very polite and he was very, I think he was sorry. He had to tell me what he had to tell me and was one, like, you know, I knew that it's 5 years after the fact now, four years after the fact now, that in general, unlike other cases and unlike other crimes, there's a limited window that you can put in for your sexual assault and attack and stuff.
Where something will happen.
Right. And like a lot of states, it's a 5-year window. Okay. Like you have like 5 years to put it in and that's it. Some are less, some are more. And so it just depends. And with mine, because I was in Florida, so the way that it works, so here's what I learned, is this is what he explained to me, is that you do, wherever your report or wherever your attack happens, you need to go to that police station to report it, like the closest police station and to where it happened, because they're going to have the jurisdiction over it. So I had to, once I realized that, and you report to them and then they handle it. And so because mine had been so long and it was going to be, even if one, like nothing would happen. And he explained to me, he's like, even if this was like a month after, a week after and stuff, he's like, this wouldn't even come to light, Janet. Like it was pretty much what he was saying. And he was like, you know, I don't even do these cases anymore because they're so disgustingly easy to throw out.
Ugh.
And like, he's like, it's a he said, she said. And he's like, and it is way too easy to discredit a woman. And like, I would be so easy because like we talked about, like at my Southeastern experience, I was the only fucking girl that was like, yeah, I'm not a virgin. You know, and here's the golden boy, all these things. And so I had this really big perception of like, I'm going to be labeled a slut. And it's going to be...
And he has a bright future ahead of
him.
Yeah,
he fucking worked for the Chick-fil-A camps over, like, summer camps. Like, good God. Boy, like, my God, let me tarnish this. Like, Jesus. Like, I don't want to handle that. And so I was like, but what about Taylor Swift? And he was like, Taylor Swift has money and it's a point to prove. And, like, she should do what she did. He's like, you don't have that kind of money. And I was like, But so, like, he let me know, like, that... But he was like, report. Fucking like report. He was like, you need to report it though. Like it needs to get like on paper.
Yeah.
He was like, just in case something does happen again to this motherfucker. Like he does something. He's like, you did the right thing by reporting. It doesn't matter when you report or how long it takes, you report it. Was like, get it done.
Good.
And so, so the main thing was like what he said, I had to go find that jurisdiction, that police. So I had to reach out to my friend who I had like told and like again, like this friend in LA who I, you know, outcried to the first time, he had been my support and confidant over the years. Like, mm-hmm. there would be times where he would text me and he's like, I'm angry for you. Mm-hmm. Even before I was angry for myself, mm-hmm. he was angry for me. Yeah. And so he gave me a lot of strength. And so he got to let me know. I was like, yo, where the hell were we? Like, what would we live? Like, yeah. where, like, what was your zip code? Like, he was like, thank God. I would have no idea. And so he had me got the address and mm-hmm. I had to Google the shit out of that. But I reported December 23rd, 2020. So mm-hmm. I reported 3 months ago. I reported 5 years after the, almost 6 years, 5 years after the fact. And what I found out was, so because I eventually, it is super hard. It is super hard getting, like, finding the right person to talk to. So, like, mm-hmm. you find the right police station, but then you got to make sure that, like, you get transferred to the right person and that you get, like, you press the right buttons to make sure that you actually leave a voicemail and not just hang up. And so all these things. And so it took a while, but that day.
So you reported, like, verbally, not written.
At this point I just knew I needed to tell a detective in LA was mm-hmm. what my attorney told me. And so when I got a hold of that detective told me that because I'm not there in mm-hmm. LA, that I need to go to my local police station mm-hmm. and report, and that police station will send it to him mm-hmm. and then he'll, like, verify everything with me and stuff.
Okay.
And so I was like, cool, I'll go down to my police station. Mm-hmm. And that experience was fucking horrible. Mm-hmm. Like, and I won't, like, I hate to say that it was. Like, I don't want to sugarcoat this or lie to anybody or lie to anyone that, mm-hmm. you know, is listening, because I do think it is important to report, but you should have everything at you. Like, you should know what you're walking into, because I didn't mm-hmm. know what I was walking into. Mm-hmm. I thought I'd be walking into, I was like, you know, I had actually been to the police before, mm-hmm. Actually around 5 years before, because I had dated some crazy person that when I broke up with him, he went fucking psycho. Mm-hmm. And, like,
so you'd already been.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. like, you know, at that time, like, the cops weren't great. It was pre-me too. Like, I showed him my text messages where he was telling me he wanted to slam my face into the ground and that he wanted to hurt me the way that I hurt him. And the cop was like, what did you do? And I was like,
broke up with him, like, move along.
Yeah. And he was like, yeah, there's nothing, this isn't violent enough to do anything about. And so I was like, you know, I hope things have changed. It's Me Too has mm-hmm, happened since mm-hmm. then. And also it was like in the lobby. I was like, oh, so I was, I should have prepared myself a little bit more. I think because I thought mm-hmm. it would be a very easy experience. Mm-hmm. At least I would have I don't know, it would be handled right, but it wasn't. Mm-hmm. So what happened for me is, like, I went to the Manatee County Sheriff's Office. You go and, like, there's a lobby mm-hmm. and, like, there's, like, glass for, like three or four, like, officer, I don't want to say receptionist, but, you know, like, they're the officer receptionist mm-hmm. kind of deal. And then this is also a lobby where, like, delivery people are coming and going mm-hmm. and officers bringing people through. Mm-hmm. And then, like, admin staff is, like, coming in into this area too. It's super busy. So you have, like, these, like, lobby with the three officers, and then off to the right is, like, their meet room, like a staff room, I can tell. And then, like, yeah, so it's busy and big. And so I get up to the person and the female officer's like, why are you here? And I was like, I need to file an information or whatever I need to file. At that time, the LA person had told me, like, what I needed to say, mm-hmm. what I needed to file. And she was like, oh, okay. And so she brings out, like, this officer. And this officer is, like, I can tell, like, a new kid. Like, I'm like, mm-hmm. are you even young enough to be talking to me, little boy? Like, okay. And we're in the middle of the lobby, and he has his clipboard, and he's like, all right, so what's going, like, what happened? Mm-hmm. And so from there, I just went downhill. I was like, you want me to talk about the most sexually traumatic experience mm-hmm. of my life, something I haven't even told my best friends, and you mm-hmm. want me to fucking talk about this in the fucking open air lobby here?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, sir. And I was like, is there anywhere we can go? Like, before we even really get started, like, mm-hmm. I was like, before we even really get started, because he was like, do you know your attacker? I was like, yeah, like, I got the information here, bro. Do mm-hmm. you know how to talk to a victim here? Mm-hmm. And so I was, like, looking around, like, obviously trying to be like, this is uncomfortable. Like, mm-hmm. why are you making me do this in a lobby? Where's a private room that we can go to? And he, like, was like, hold on. He goes out and I can hear him talking to people. And, like, I guess the guy in charge, like, you got this? And he's like, yeah, I got it. And he comes back out to me and, like, we go outside. He's like, okay, we're going to go somewhere. And he takes me outside, like outside the doors of like the lobby, like out in the parking lot. And like, he was like, all right. And I was like, what?
So there's not like a little room like they have in the movie.
No, I was like, it's going to be like Law and Order. I was told them there. I was there to report like my sexual assault, that they were going to go get somebody that handles sexual assault. Mm-hmm. And I was going to go give it to, like, give my report to an experienced, like, experienced officer. Mm-hmm. Not the case at all. This dude had never had dealt with a victim. I had asked if I could, I was like, if there was any privacy, like, and he went back to his boss, and his boss was, like, loud enough for me to hear, like, really? It's been 5 years. What does she expect?
Wow.
I'm like, bitch, I expect some respect. Like, yeah. I'm the victim here. I came here to do the right thing. Mm-hmm. Why are you stopping me from doing that? Was how I felt. And so he comes out and tells me that I can write it in my car if I want. Like, he gives me this piece of paper, mm-hmm. like, and was like, you can write it in your car or in the lobby or whatever. And I was like, okay. And so I, it was so hard. Like, if I hadn't been determined to do, to report, to get this done, I was like, I'm not bringing this into the new year. I'm fucking done. Mm-hmm. Like, this is done. Like, I need this closure. Like, yeah. It's the last thing over my head. Like, yeah. I have got to get this done. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I cried like a banshee in the car because that's the experience. I couldn't believe how I was being treated. Contacted my attorney, was like, is this normal? And then I went back inside after I got my report. And like, I have a picture of my report because I wanted to be able to always remember it, that like when I was in the office, I could barely, like, my hands were shaking so bad. You could barely read it. And then I got outside, cried in my car, like prayed and like got like my hands steady again. Mm-hmm. And it was, you know, just a contrast in the image. And I went inside and like, they were not prepared to have me back. Like, they were clearly not prepared to have me come back. And I was like, you know, snap, what are we doing here? And so now I'm fucking pissed because now I have time to think about. And also I'm like, excuse me, I'm a grown ass woman. I know how I'm supposed to be treated. Mm-hmm. Like, what the hell? And so I go in there and I go to the female officer. I was like, I want a name. I was like, I want a name of that bitch that said, like, who had the audacity to say it's been 5 years? Mm-hmm. I was like, I want a name. And she was like, okay. And got a name. Turned out it was like the sergeant. Mm-hmm. I was like, you motherfucker. Mm-hmm. Of course. I was like, I thought you were the asshole from 5 years ago that told me it wasn't violent enough to do anything about. And so I got the name. And the report was basically done after that. Like, mm-hmm. you know, he didn't like ask me any questions.
Right.
He just took the paper and before he like took, like, he was like, oh, all right. Like, as he was done with the paper, I was like, I got super dramatic and I was like, I don't know who needs to hear this. Like, first of all, I'm a theater major. I can project. You want it? I caused a scene. Like, I made sure everybody in that room and multiple rooms could hear me. Because I was like, I don't know who needs to hear this. But yeah, it's been 5 years since my attack and it was my best friend. So it takes a little bit of extra work to get here. Mm-hmm. I was like, it was only 2 years ago since I was diagnosed with PTSD. So I've had to catch up a little bit here.
Yeah.
I was like, the way that you have made me feel today, the way that you have treated me. And then I was like, my tears have balled up and I walked out. Mm-hmm. I was like, how dare you? So the experience was fucking horrible. Reporting was not great. I had to immediately have therapy after it. Mm-hmm. But I will say that I got what I was looking for.
Okay.
Like, honestly, reporting is like, I mean, honestly, like, therapy, you gotta get therapy. Counseling, I cannot recommend therapy and counseling and stuff. But what has been the most healing, what has been the most impactful experience has been reporting.
Yeah.
It's checking off that final check mark. It is knowing that I did the right thing now. I've done everything I was supposed to do, could do.
To get justice.
And not that, like, justice will necessarily happen in my case. I don't even know, like, if to this day what I would do with the option if I could go to trial or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of glad that option was taken away from me. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't take away the power of, like, you know, you have to do this. Like, it was the shittiest experience of, I cannot believe that these officers are, like, in 1957 that are treating me this way.
Yeah.
But nothing gets done unless you talk about it. Right. Nothing gets done unless you take actions towards healing, towards justice. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I can say on the other side now that I have gotten a lot of closure from it. Mm-hmm. And it was worth it, despite all of the challenges that led up into it. Mm-hmm. It was worth it.
Okay, so I do have a couple of questions for you. And yeah. One of them, I want to just reverse back. Because if I had been in your shoes and the lawyer basically told me, like, that this guy, there wouldn't be consequences on him necessarily today.
Yeah.
Basically, you're putting yourself in this position. You're making yourself vulnerable by going and reporting. You didn't have a good experience there. Like,
yeah.
I would feel really like, what's the point? Or I would feel scared to go. And if someone is in your shoes or in that shoes that day, having had talked to the lawyer, what would you say to them? Like, how would you encourage them that, reporting does make a difference?
I will say that anybody that like shares their story with me, what I say is you still need a report.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about them. It's not about the officers. It's not about justice. It's about you.
Like getting freedom from these.
I don't think you can move on from an experience like this without getting let me say this too. Like, I don't believe in closure, mm-hmm. like in general. I think closure is a made up shit that like humans came up with for us mm-hmm. to hold on to things longer than they need to.
Mm-hmm.
I need closure for something. Like, no, like this is the only time I say that closure happens when you can finally let go of the past. Mm-hmm. Like, and there for me, I don't think you can let go, because as someone who is as justice oriented as me,
right.
I couldn't end. My ending had to be the reporting.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe people would disagree and say that mm-hmm. they can't, but I would argue that how can you, because mm-hmm. you're still hanging on to it.
Mm-hmm.
You can't let go to it because you know that justice hasn't been done.
Right.
So I would say I would grab a friend. Honestly, I don't know if I would have been treated differently.
Mm-hmm.
I've learned since then that like I've had, like I put my story on when I reported on social media, and I had other police officers reach out to me that were like, yeah, what you went through isn't what you weren't supposed to go through that. Like that isn't how it's handled.
Right.
And so for one thing I would say is like, I live in a podunk Florida town where it is a good old boy network here. Mm-hmm. There is not like, you know, LA, New York, where you hear Law and Order SVU. Yeah, they do have sex crimes units and stuff.
Right.
I looked up in Manatee County. That's not a thing.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have that.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have, like, they have officers that deal with sexual assault, but they don't have
like a full
unit. Yeah, it's not like what you see on TV. They don't, at least. Mm-hmm. So other cities will be different. My experience was my experience alone. Other cops mm-hmm. are not my cops, mm-hmm. you know, like, I will say that my therapist was shocked to hear that was how it was handled, because I don't think, you know, I was at a sheriff's office. I don't know if like the city police handle things differently mm-hmm. or like whatever, mm-hmm. how that works. I was in COVID time, so I wasn't allowed. I couldn't go to the Bradenton police. I only had the sheriff's office.
Right. We're limited.
I was limited in my options.
And does reporting go on the assaulter's record in a way that if another woman were to report, does it like pop up that like this is
that's also, what I asked. There's not a national system, which I was kind of like surprised.
Disappointing.
Yeah, I was surprised at that. Mm-hmm. Like just like their like fingerprints, like I guess like it's kind of like that. So I asked, like, the only way, because also mine hasn't, like, there's no charges, mm-hmm. because mine is just a report.
Mm-hmm.
If he only has reports against mm-hmm. him, the only way people find out is like if you go to that police jurisdiction and like you know about it, and mm-hmm. like then they can pull it. So one thing I asked, I was like, so what if in case of my person, like it comes out that he attacks someone else, mm-hmm. that like that he's raped someone else now.
Yeah.
And that officer was like, well, in that case, then those attorneys would, you know, would most likely go after your report, or if they existed, mm-hmm. it would be used as evidence potentially.
Okay.
Just like that's how Epstein came down. Okay. It was reports from like, it was like, there were a bunch of reports over time mm-hmm. that could like show a pattern. And that's when it came up. So no, there's not like a national, mm-hmm. that was a crazy thing to me. Like, no, because mm-hmm. he wasn't arrested. No, because there aren't charges filed and stuff, just because it's only a report.
But it's not, you said it's not only a report. I mean, if reports took down Epstein, then right, that's exactly. Really
like there is
important.
Like documentation. Like it is like real so documentation. Important. It's not just
that's
like
so important.
Yeah, it isn't just like, you know, a note, like a Google Doc on your laptop. It is like there is weight mm-hmm. to it. There is like it is like this is yeah. documented, and it doesn't go away. It doesn't like, you know, disappear after 5 years and stuff. It is there forever. And now that things are digitized, mm-hmm. I think things, you know, that's something too that will probably, maybe that will be a change that we see in mm-hmm. our lifetime, is like just how like fingerprints and DNA are run mm-hmm. through nationally and stuff. Maybe we'll have a national assault base sometime. Mm-hmm. That's something I would love to see, because I don't know how, AOC, I don't know if you can do something about that, like, but I would love to see a national sexual assault registry and stuff like that.
And I do just want to say that the vast majority of people who commit assault are not one-time offenders. It's overwhelmingly repeat offenders. So if they do start to have reports on their record, that can have negative consequences for them in the future, which again is why I'm so proud of Janet for reporting. And I'm so proud of all the women who have felt the courage to report, because it is so important. I just have two more questions. The one of them is, you know, because some people feel like, well, I wasn't raped or I wasn't this, so maybe it's not that big of a deal, quote unquote. I'm doing air quotes here. And so, Janet, can you just help us understand a little bit like the legal terms versus assault versus battery? What, you know?
I will say that I think that there is an old school kind of mentality of like, oh, at least you weren't raped. I think I've seen that a little bit since I've talked to people about it and stuff. I will say, like, you know, I think I might have had that negative like image and stuff, like, well, at least you weren't raped. Like when I would hear about attacks and stuff, like it isn't any less damaging.
Right.
You are still physically assaulted. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, we taught one thing that I did learn too, and this is, it just depends on the state that you're in.
Okay.
Sexual battery versus assault. Mm-hmm. Some states, like, basically battery is like anything from like non-touching down. So if you were force kissed, like that's, or like a drive, I don't want to say like drive-by, but like a drive-by butt grab kind of deal.
Yeah.
Like that is considered battery in some places. Mm-hmm. And then assault is like touching and up, like less than rape. Mm-hmm. Like, so like what I went through. So in the state of Florida, I was batterized. Mm-hmm. In the state of California, I was assaulted. Mm-hmm. So it just depends on, again, the state that you're in. But battery generally means, like, in most states, it doesn't include rape.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I don't want to say lesser offense, but it usually is, like, it's not, it's a different type of attack.
Yeah. I actually don't, I hardly know any women who've never experienced any type of unwanted touch.
Yeah.
Almost every woman I know has experienced, even me personally. In the red light district, ironically enough. But should we report everything?
I think, you know, that is so hard. Because honestly, I think we have a new lens of how we're looking at things. Mm-hmm. For one thing, I used to go to Ybor back in the day when I was 20. And, like, my ass was grabbed every time I went to.
Well, I wouldn't even know, like, who did it, you know?
Right,
I mean?
Exactly. We were in these crowded ass clubs, and sometimes I would know, sometimes I wouldn't, and it was almost like it was supposed to be viewed as a compliment.
Mm-hmm.
I do, like, in the case of, like, what Taylor Swift did, like, she got, like, some people said the same thing to her, where, like, that was a lot of comments I saw, and, like, well, she just had her butt grabbed. I get that grabbed every day. Like,
doesn't make it right.
Right, exactly. Like, it doesn't make it right. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the thing, is, like, yeah, we should report everything until we have to not have to.
Because, like, as much as you can, because you need the person's name, right? To
Like, I felt like I had to have, like, it was, like, more information. Like, you don't have to have, like, their name. Mm-hmm. Like, in my instance, like, I was, quote unquote, lucky enough that I had information to be, like,
lucky enough.
Like, I had his info and stuff. I knew who it was. Mm-hmm. If it's a stranger, that does not mean that you, like, that doesn't change anything. Like, you tell them who it was, because you never know down the line what it could mean. Because, again, like,
they could always be doing that to strangers.
Right. And like, I think that was one thing I also got, like, something that stopped me reporting was, like, you know, I was like, you know, this is one, maybe he never will do this again. Was like, maybe it will, and maybe, you know, that's something that, like, went in my head, was like, he's a good guy. You know, you play these, like, scenarios in your head. Mm-hmm. But also I would say to you, but what if he doesn't? And that's where I kept right. going is like, mm-hmm. you know, yeah, maybe he's married. Like he's married now, but I don't know what his wife's going through.
Right.
I don't, maybe she would have liked to know about those police reports out there against him and stuff. Like, you know, those type yes. of things matter. Yes. You know, he may have done that. You know, that's the thing too. I think about is like, I didn't think about my friend in college mm-hmm. being a victim and stuff, mm-hmm. but like now there's a sea. I wonder how many others he had girlfriends in college where I'm now like, yo, what mm-hmm. happened to you?
Right.
This is how he treated people that he wasn't with.
Mm-hmm.
Can only imagine what he felt he was owed in a relationship.
Ooh, ooh.
And so those are things that I think about. You know, one mm-hmm. thing, so yes, to answer your question, I do think, yeah, it may seem obsessive, but it's not. We have, mm-hmm. as a society, we've normalized it so long mm-hmm. that now, like, you know, reporting seems extreme, but no, it's just what we should have been doing the whole time.
Right.
We shouldn't have to normalize our ass getting grabbed every single, like, just because I'm wearing a dress.
Yeah.
Like, no, it's not a compliment that I look good, you know? Like, I know I look good. Like, you know, like.
Okay, last question, and then I'm gonna wrap us up here. But, you know, I personally want to be a safe place for people to come and say, hey, like, this happened to me. I want to be a safe place for people to share their story. So if someone confides in me or to one of our listeners, how should we respond? How can we be the best friends, family, loved ones?
Yeah. Well, like one thing, like, yeah, I do think, you know, I'm not a counselor, you are. So like, I do think it's important as a friend to just one, listen
mm-hmm.
when they start telling their story, because I think every time that I started to tell my story, I never planned on it. And it, by the grace of my friends, just allowing me to tell my story, it was them being able to be like, do you realize what you just said? Or like mm-hmm. hearing it. So one, listen, don't interrupt. If it's, this is a story that gets serious or you're starting to hear something, like, let them get it out.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know where it could lead. Or what that could be their first outcry. For me, and what I think has been the most powerful experience, and what I've been able to also, when friends have shared things with me, has been hearing it's not your fault.
Mm.
I think like that's a very powerful thing to hear to a victim who has, for at least in my case, told themselves it was their fault 100 million times. And so I do think like that it's important to, if it's appropriate, like mm-hmm. if you can say that appropriately, like, hey, it's not your fault.
Right.
And like, it doesn't need to go more than that. Like mm-hmm. that shouldn't have happened to you.
Mm-hmm.
It's appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
When I did, like when I finally report, when I shared a few months ago that I reported and stuff that I was sexually assaulted by friends. Like I think women come together and they realize like, hey, we have these shared experiences. The friends in my life, I think men looked at it a little bit differently and they're like, what can I do? Or how, and I, part of me wanted to be like, they were your friend.
Hmm.
So I would counter to men who are listening, as the best thing that you can do for your female friends who've been assaulted is do what my friend did, which was, one, assure me that what happened to me shouldn't have happened to me, what the fuck happened to me mm-hmm. was wrong. And also when you hear the shit that your friends say, because there are clues, like, you know, looking back at things, yeah. like there are breadcrumb things that are now in our culture that we know are inappropriate.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as men have, and I'm not calling out men to call out men. I'm saying it like there's power, like just when mm-hmm. women come mm-hmm. to women, there's power when men come to men. To call out each other in yeah. a way that you have that power to,
mm-hmm.
like you have that privilege to, that others don't. Like as right. as a female that I don't have. Mm-hmm. So men, be there for your women, and honestly, mm-hmm. if they want to report, go with them
yes.
would be one thing, and great. Advocate for them. And like that would mm-hmm. be the one thing I would say going forward is, I would advocate for myself. I would be way more vocal about, like, I would say, like, where is someone who has dealt with sexual assault mm-hmm. victims? Like, mm-hmm. I want a private room. Like, I would now be like,
yeah.
I would honestly pull up my social being like, okay, I'm live at the sheriff's office. You're telling me that as a victim, there's now a private place for me to appropriately, like, outcry my assault. Like, mm-hmm. you know, something like I would maybe not be as dramatic as me, but I would grab a male friend. And be advocate for yourself that you deserve the respect to share your story in privacy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that is not something crazy to ask mm-hmm. for. It's not.
Mm-hmm.
So be there for your friends. I didn't want someone to be there with me, which is also appropriate as well. You mm-hmm. know, I would just say support your friends and mm-hmm. what they can do.
At least
don't
offer. Maybe.
To yeah. them. Offer to go with them. But also it's not your choice. Mm-hmm. It's theirs. just because it was a healing experience for me, I did have to get re-traumatized, you know, being, it's a traumatic experience sharing the assault again. And it's a traumatic experience, like dealing with the police, if you went with something like how I dealt with it. So it was, you have to give some people some space and time and stuff. But also I would encourage your friend, like also if you start to see that they're struggling, encourage them that, hey, like I honestly wish some people had come to me and be like, hey, I'm noticing like you're different. You seem a little bit angrier. You seem a little bit sadder. Like you seem a little bit testier. Like, is there something going on?
Right.
And like, again, not, you can't, if you, you can say that to me, best friends can say that. So there are different levels and stuff, but, yeah, just be there for your friend, listen and support them in the way that they, that you can.
Yeah. Janet, thank you so much for sharing your story. And I hope that, for our audience listening to this, that if you've been there and you haven't reported, I hope that you find some hope or reassurance that your opportunity to report is still very important, although it could be very difficult.
It's worth it. It's worth reporting.
And let's reiterate that again, that it's, it really is never too late to report. So if you, because I do find when I talk to women that this concept of like, well, it wasn't rape, so therefore I shouldn't report. No, that's not the case.
Not the case at all.
Assault in general, we just, all of that, we should be reporting. And please be encouraged, even if you were like, well, that happened when I was 13. Like, that's okay. Report that, because the chances of the person who assaulted you assaulting someone else is really high. And so, yeah.
And you deserve healing. Like, honestly, you deserve the healing. You deserve it. It doesn't matter what they go through or what other people go through. It's you deserve peace and healing.
Yes.
And all right. So yeah, that was a heavy episode.
That was a heavy episode. We do promise that next week is going to be a little bit funnier, a little bit lighter. We're going to take a little bit of a break from all these very heavy but very important topics. Next week, we're going to have some special guests.
Special guests. You guys are going to love them.
We're going to be talking about just some differences between Gen Z and the millennials. Janet and I are going to learn some stuff, hopefully. And next week's question is, do I need to get a middle part?
Do millennials, guys, do we have to get a middle part? Do we got to give up our skinny jeans? Find out next week.
Hey, we can't wait to talk to you next week.
Bye.